Appreciate the reading just a few moments ago from Psalm 11. Notice the contrast in that psalm between the wicked and the righteous. In verse 2, he mentions the wicked, and then he contrasts them with the upright in heart. As you drop down in that reading, he talks about the righteous in verse 5, and then he says, but the wicked. And numerous times in this psalm, he makes reference to the righteous and uses the words righteous and righteousness. These are words that are repeated throughout the Old and New Testaments and teach us right living. In the book of Genesis chapter 7 and in verse 1, you may not have time to turn to all of these passages, but you might like to jot them down and be able to go back and read them. You remember how that in the days of Noah it was said, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In the book of Numbers 23 and in verse 10, one said, let me die the death of the righteous. In Psalm 1 and verse 6, it is written, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. In Psalm 14 and verse 5, it is said, God is in the generation of the righteous. Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 106 and verse 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Why Solomon in the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 34 had this to say, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In Matthew 25 and in verse 46, the word of the Lord says, as you picture the judgment scene and you had the unrighteous represented by the goats on the left hand and the righteous on the right, the righteous into life eternal. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, when Peter preached at the house of Cornelius, he talked about how that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The message of Paul to the Corinthians, among other things, in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, was awake to righteousness and sin not. Paul appealed to the young evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11 and again in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 to follow after righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, when Paul talked about the old man to be put off and made appeal to put on the new man, he said, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so that should help us to appreciate that the book has a lot to say about righteousness. And I want us to remember that every time the words righteous and righteousness are used, that it is making an appeal to right living. That this book appeals to us to live in a way that is right in the sight of God. What I'd like to do in this simple study is call attention to three principles of right living. How can you and I be upright in heart? How can we live right? How can we lead lives that are characterized by righteousness? Let me suggest to you that the first step to right living is to think right. If we're going to live right, we have to think right. If we don't think right, then we're not going to live right. In the book of Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 5, the Bible says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. In Proverbs 23 and in verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are shaped by our thoughts. And so it's hard for us to live right if we don't think right. Before the flood, there was a problem with individuals not thinking right. You recall back in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5 where the Bible says God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And thus that brought into the world the flood as all flesh was destroyed from the face of the earth. But Noah found righteous along with his family, the Bible says in Genesis 7 and verse 23 that Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. This story is a reminder that the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts, as David said to his son Solomon back in 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 9. In Matthew 15 and verse 19, the Lord talked about the things that come from the heart and defile a man. And in that, he talked about evil thoughts. As you read throughout the earth life of Jesus, you find he often asked people about their thinking, about their thoughts. He said in Matthew 9 and verse 4, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" In Matthew 18 and verse 12, he said, "How think ye?" And again in Matthew 21 and verse 28, "But what think ye?" Might be a good question for us today. What think ye? How think ye when it comes to our thoughts? We need to be careful how we think. We need to think right. And that was the message of Paul basically in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 when he said that through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not to have an inflated view of oneself. Not to think arrogantly or haughtily. But he said to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In Galatians 6 and verse 3, Paul said, "If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And then when Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and you recall in the first chapters of 1 Corinthians that there was the problem of thinking too highly of men. There were those who were puffed up for one against another. Some were saying, "I, Paul," others, "I of Apollos," some, "I of Cephas," and some, "of Christ." And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. They had to learn to think right when it came to their assessment and evaluation of other men, not to think of men above that which is written. And a principle that will help us to think right is when Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." When you and I think on these things, we're going to think right. But sometimes the thinking of people can get off base, off track. We don't think right. Maybe you said of somebody, "He's just not thinking right. He's not acting right because he's not thinking properly." You might say of an individual, "They've lost their mind. They're just not thinking right. They're not evaluating that right." And so if we're going to live right, we've got to think right. Bring our thoughts into captivity to the mind of Christ, as Paul talked about. But then a second principle when it comes to right living is not just to think right, but to speak right. You know, the Bible says in the book of Job 6 and verse 25, "How forcible are right words." There's such a thing as right words, words that are right. In Proverbs 8 and verse 6, it is said, "The opening of my lips shall be right things." Wouldn't it be great if that was our disposition today, that when we open our lips, it'll be right things that are spoken. Not everything that comes from the lips of men and women are right. A lot of things that are said are wrong, that are false, that just simply are not true. To speak what's right. In Proverbs 13:5, as the Bible talks about a righteous man, it says, "A righteous man hateth lying." How many lies are told every day in this world? A lot of lies are told. Righteous man hates lying. God hates lying. And that ought to be our attitude toward it. You remember the price that was paid in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira lied about the possession that they sold. God struck them. God smote them there. And they died, didn't they? They gave up the ghost. It shows what God thinks, how God feels about lying. All liars, the Bible says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. In Revelation 21 and in verse 8, a righteous man hateth lying. Do we hate lying? In the book of Proverbs 16 and verse 13, righteous lips. You know the Bible talks about righteous lips? What kind of lips do we have? Are they righteous lips? Righteous lips are lips that speak right. He said, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right." Speaketh right. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 16, it is said, "That which came out of my lips was right before thee." Can we say that today? Could we say that to God, that that which comes out of our lips is right before him? Are we speaking that which is right? If we're going to live right, we've got to think right and we've got to speak right. And then finally today, the third point. Very simple, practical, as we try to appeal to righteous living. We need to think right, we need to speak right, and we need to do right. We can't live right if we don't do right. Notice the passage in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 7. John said, "Little children, let no man deceive you, but he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Who is righteous? It's he that doeth righteousness. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty straightforward. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. If we're going to be right, we've got to do right. And appeal has been made all throughout the Bible for men and women to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. It could be stated in the words of Exodus 15 and verse 26. Do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments. You see, doing what's right in his sight is associated with giving ear to his commandments. How can I do what's right in his sight if I don't give ear to his commandments, if I don't listen to what he has to say? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18, it is written, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee." If we want things to be well with us, and I trust that we do, we want things to be well with ourselves, with our family members, with those that we care for, our neighbors, then we need to do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Ye should not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." You know, there's a problem, and always has been, with people trying to do what's right in their own eyes. That was the thing that characterized the time of the judges. Judges 21, 25 says, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." In Proverbs 12 and in verse 15, it is written, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." And so when we decide we're just going to do what we think is right, what seems right to me, what feels right, then that's the way of a fool. That's foolish thinking, foolish living, to just do what we think is right. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man." You know, sometimes you hear that, this seems right. I think this is right. Where's that lead? What's the end thereof? He said, "The end thereof are the ways of death," in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. And so we can't do what's right in our own eyes, but must do what is right in the sight of the Lord. You know, back in Deuteronomy 12:8, he said not to do every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes, but in verse 25, he said, "Do that which is right in the sight of the Lord." And so we have a choice. Are we going to do what we think is right, what seems right to us, or are we going to do what is right in the sight of the Lord? We read in the Old Testament numerous times of individuals who are said to have done that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, like in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 5. And then we have others, unfortunately, who did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, 2 Kings 16 and verse 2. In the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "They know not to do right, saith the Lord." Sad when people know not to do right. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 5, the Bible talks about a just man, that's another word for righteous, a righteous man, is one who does that which is lawful and right. And the Bible appeals to us to do that which is lawful and right. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Remember when Paul wrote concerning children in Ephesus, he said, "Obey your parents in the Lord," and they said, "This is right." It's the right thing to do for a child to obey his parents, to honor his father and his mother. He said, "Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And so three simple principles to help us to live right in the sight of God, to think right, to speak right, and to do right. How can we know what is right? How can we know what to think and what to say and what to do? The Bible is the source of all that is right. The psalmist said in Psalm 33 and verse 4, "The word of the Lord is right." If my thinking is in line with what the Bible says, then I'm thinking right. If my talk is in line with the word of the Lord, then my talk is right. If my life is in line with the word of the Lord, what I do, then my life is right. I'm doing what's right. In John 17 and in verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth." It is the Word of God, all Scripture, that directs us, that teaches us, that furnishes us. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so it is the Word of God that instructs us in righteousness. It instructs us in how to think and how to speak and what to do. And a good question for us to ask ourselves is our heart right with God? Have we been thinking right? Have we been speaking right? Have we been doing right in the sight of God? We are made righteous today by the righteousness of God. And the commandments of God are His righteousness. In Psalm 19 and in verse 8, the psalmist said, the statutes of the Lord are right. And again in verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In Psalm 119, 172, the psalmist said, all thy commandments are righteousness. God's righteousness or commandments today are contained in the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is within the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How are we made righteous? By the righteousness of God, by God's commandments. An answer comes from Romans chapter 6. When Paul said in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Here were people that at one time were unrighteous. They were servants of sin, but now they are servants of righteousness. How'd that happen? They obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine delivered. That goes back to verses 3 and 4. When he said, know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. To be righteous by the righteousness of God, the commandments of God, is to die to sin. As Jesus was crucified, we crucify the old man of sin. And as he was buried, we bury that old man of sin. We're buried with him by baptism into death. And as he was raised from the dead, he said, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We would encourage you, if you've not already, to be baptized, to be buried with him by baptism into death, to put off the old man, to crucify that old man of sin, to bury him in the waters of baptism, and then to rise to walk in newness of life, to think right, to speak right, and to do right. It may be that you've obeyed the gospel, you've been baptized, you've become a servant of righteousness, but you find yourself like Simon in Acts chapter 8 after he was baptized. He wasn't thinking right. Remember, he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. He offered the apostles money. He said, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 8:20, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. What was he told to do about that? He was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Thanks to God that he has a pathway of return, that when our heart is not right in his sight, that we can be forgiven, that we can repent and we can pray. Peter told him, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon Peter answered and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. If you're not a child of God, not a Christian, we would encourage you to hear the word of the Lord, to believe it with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in the Son of God, and to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And if you've obeyed the gospel, but you've become unfaithful, you've not been thinking right or speaking right or doing right, you need to repent and pray. You need to, as John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, confess your sins. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to sing a song to invite you to respond to the grace of God, and all things are ready. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.